Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Trade Raiders podcast, the comic book club. We normally read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics. But on this episode, we're talking about things we watched.
Bonus episode.
We get a special bonus episode just for you.
Just for you.
Just because we love you and we have too many things to talk about.
We're addicted to sharing our opinions online.
And this is a debate we've been talking about for the entirety of the pod.
Yeah. I like Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 better than the first movie it's better.
I feel the opposite.
And I feel like a lot of people are on your side, but God damn it, Daniel, today I'm going to convince you. I'm not going to leave until you say Volume 2 is better.
Guess we're going to be here.
Just kidding, I don't know how long this will be, but we've decided because of Volume 3 coming out, we would rewatch 1 and 2 and we would do this. And we've taken notes.
We watched them both back to back together.
Yeah, together. We were in the same room.
Yep.
We bought pizza.
Yeah, and wings.
It was a good time.
So I'd like to keep this as much of like a debate as possible, you know? I think what we should do is go over like pros and cons of both. And then at the end, just kind of rebuttal.
Yes, I agree. I think that...
I've never taken a debate club or anything like that, so I don't really know how they do it, but this makes like the most sense to me.
Yeah, so I've only watched presidential debates, and so if there's anything that I think you're right on, I'm just going to attack your character.
And say that I'm a bad president.
Yeah, I'm going to say that you like beat your wife or something, even though it's not true. So anyway.
And then you want to see my emails.
I'm going to ask for your emails and why you refuse to share them. But no, I think there's pros for, you know, each movie that are better than like the other one, and there's cons for each movie that are, you know, worse than the other one. So there's I like both a lot.
Yeah.
Like they're pretty, like one's like a 9.5 and the other one's like a 9.4. Like that's like where I would like put it.
Okay.
Both of them, you know.
One's so, like a 10, one's like a 9 in my head. So
yeah, so they're, you know, really really strong movies. So I like both of them, but I just like Volume 2 more. So let's go into the pros. Let's start with the first one.
Okay. So
great introduction.
Yeah. We have characters we've never seen, we hardly even knew about, and they're able to introduce them and like get us to love them with basically no context.
Yeah, I think James Gunn had the impossible task of just being like, make us care about these characters that probably not a lot of people cared about.
That are super weird too.
Yeah, super weird, very cosmic. Like you are opening up cosmic Marvel. Mm-hmm. And I think he does that in a really fun way because he doesn't take it too seriously. The stuff I hate about Marvel cosmos in the comics is when they take it too seriously. Okay. It's not that interesting most of the time.
Right.
Like when there's a Kree war or whatever.
Yeah.
No, thank you. You know? But I think he does a good job keeping it lighthearted. That introduction scene is a good example of just like, he's in a weird spot. He's wearing a weird suit, but he's still like dancing, you know?
Yeah.
And it like makes it fun and lighthearted. So very strong.
First pro against the second one is that this one has a superior awesome mix.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I think the soundtrack is more iconic here just because the energy of like the songs that he's selected, I think are all consistent.
A little bit more upbeat,
you know, some fun, you know, retro like sounds are in there, like the Redbone stuff, your Uga Chakas are in there, you know.
Yeah.
And then the second one, there's different levels of energy.
Right.
And like slower songs and, you know, they have their place. There's songs I feel like in the second one that are super like effective. But then there's also like that one at like the end where Yondu's like dead. And they're playing like a really slow song. And I'm like, this doesn't necessarily hit as hard as I would want it to.
Yeah.
So
I remember listening to that playlist prior to seeing the movie. I'm like, wow, this is all very slow, you know? Yeah. But there are songs like in the second one that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
like the Fleetwood Mac song, I think is incredible.
That's like my favorite Fleetwood Mac song, probably because of this movie.
Yeah, probably. And like it's so effective because like Star-Lord's like, you know, or it's like a slow-mo walk sort of sequence. And it's like a really good song.
Yeah.
And it's great. But yeah, I think this music in this one's like a bit better than the first, than the second one. So I agree with you there.
In the first, I think there's better gadgets and more gadgets for like Star-Lord, you know, for, so he's got that little thing that he throws on the ground on the first planet and it makes all the guys just suck to it. It's like some sort of anti-gravity thing.
I do like the suck thing.
Yeah.
He's got the one that like wraps around Gamora's legs. Never use that again.
Yeah. Just some little like rope thing.
Yeah.
Just like a lot of, you even said it when we were watching it, like, wow, he's got a lot of gadgets in this one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's just, and he's got that thing, or I guess it's the same device that makes the orb or whatever, like come gets out,
sucked
of,
out of the thing.
Get sucked out of it.
Yep, same device.
So it just seems like he had kind of an answer for most things.
Mm-hmm.
But
there's rocket gadgets in the second one, like when he's taking out all the Ravagers, there's like that gravity one.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean, you know, different stuff that's happening. He's placing like these little things on the Ravagers and they all get shocked, you know, in the forest. Right. So there's, and he's like building stuff as well, but yeah, not as many Star-Lord ones, which I feel like the idea of like Star-Lord ones, it's like those are all things he uses for thieving and he just doesn't do a lot of the thieving in the second one,
right?
Because he doesn't really need to, he's, you know, focused on something else. So I like Ronan's big hammer.
Yeah, I think he's like more of an intimidating villain.
At
first he's just like, he's just scarier, you know,
he's scarier looking. But the scope of, I think, what he's doing is not as strong as the second one.
Sure.
Because in here, I can agree with that. I don't really understand. Like, I get his motivations. He doesn't like whatever contract is going on between Kree and Nova Corps or whatever. But peace it's
treaty.
Like, the peace treaty. Yeah, he's like, man, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
But he doesn't like explain why. And like, does that really validate his need to just want to destroy the whole Nova Corps? And the whole galaxy after that, you know,
he can become
like power hungry, but it seems like he's just evil for the sake of being evil. I feel like he's not as strong of a villain because of that.
Yeah, he's definitely not as like interesting.
Yeah, because he's just like, man, this big evil guy, we got to take him down, huh? So yeah. That's I think one of, I mean, it's not like a negative, but it's like something where it's not as strong as the second movie.
There are, so in the first one, there's the prison break scene, which I think is very fun.
It's like a top five scene in all the MCU.
Right. Yeah. And so it definitely gives it points.
Yeah. I think what's especially impressive about that is like everybody's doing something like that is beneficial.
Kind of.
Like
Star-Lord, you know, getting the leg.
Star-Lord's getting the leg. And like, even though that doesn't end up being beneficial, like the point of it is that it sets up like a really funny joke.
Yeah.
And you know, people are like theorizing that like he wanted the leg or whatever as like some sort of, you know, thing to Lila and like how she has like, you know, prosthetic limbs or like a friend.
I just heard that he was like trying to build like a robot or something.
Yeah.
That's why he's always asking for like Bucky's arm or that dude's eye and stuff like that.
I think the Bucky's arm and the dude's eye, it's just a callback to that first joke. I think people were reading into it a little bit too deeply.
Definitely.
With that third one. But anyway, I think the Stan Lee is a pervert, you know, cameo in the first one. I was like, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
You're just shitting on Stan Lee. I like his cameo better in the second one because he's a watcher.
He's talking to the Watchers.
And that's sick. No, he's definitely a Watcher.
Oh, okay.
In my mind.
There's three Watchers there and he's just talking to his coworkers.
He's interviewing to become a Watcher in my mind.
Okay.
Because in my mind, Stan Lee is a Watcher and he's still watching all the Marvel Universe, you know?
Sure.
And I think that was the original intention.
Mm-hmm.
But so yeah, that's my mind lore that I like in this.
There's a lot of, I feel like there's a lot more like fight scenes in the first one.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why I don't rate like number two a 10 is because the second act of it is like a bit slower and there's not that action that's in there.
Yeah.
But I think it gets, I think what makes up for that is that there's a lot more interesting character moments in volume two than there are in volume one. Because overall, as like movies, I feel like the theme of the first one, it's like finding a family and becoming a family. And then the second one, it's like how hard it is to stay a family, which I think is a more interesting theme. Because in the first one, like everybody's characterized very well. And they're kind of like the, you know, you get everybody's sort of deal when you first meet them. You know, like Rocket and Groot are like these bounty hunter people. Star-Lord's like a thief. Gamora's like this, you know, warrior or whatever. And that's it. And that's all you really need to know for the sake of that movie. And then the second one, we dig into that a little bit deeper.
Sure.
And you understand like everybody on a much deeper level. And they do that by placing people in pairs in that movie. So you get like Mantis and Drax, You get Yondu Rocket, which is a really interesting pairing. You know, Quill and Gamora, Gamora and Nebula. Those yeah. are very hard-hitting scenes, and you're finding out like more about them and, you know, how it's harder to stay a family because of what's going on.
And that's a pro of the second movie, and we're not there yet.
Okay, yeah. But anyway, that's where was I going with that?
I don't know.
I don't remember either.
I was talking about fight sequences.
Oh, so. Yeah, fight sequences. So that, I think that's why the second act of Volume 2 is a little bit less fighting, because they're focusing on it for that reason. I will say that the physical comedy in the first one, I think, is a bit better. Like, the with some of the fight scenes, I was just, like, chuckling the whole time. Like, especially that first one with Star-Lord and Gamora, where she takes, like, the orb thing. And then, like, mm-hmm. there's just, like, a ridiculous scene where she's, like, running on the ground, and the Star-Lord, like jumps from, like, the second level. And he, like, jumps on her, and I was like, this is ridiculous. Or, like, Rocket and Groot try to, like, take Quill in, like, a bag, and he's, like, running away with, like, the bag still around his ankles, you know?
Yeah.
There's, like, really fun scenes like that I think are better than the second one.
I personally think the first one is overall just funnier.
It is, yeah.
Okay.
I'll say that as well.
Thought you'd fight me on that.
Like, there's definitely some really laugh-out-loud jokes in the second one, but there's some that are forced. Like, I really don't like the fruit is ripe joke in the second one.
Yeah.
It's so obvious.
It doesn't pay off.
It's not fun the first, second, or third time.
I thought the first and second time was amusing. And then...
like, maybe the first time.
And then it doesn't play out that funny to me.
Yeah. So, there's... I think some of those jokes...
We'll get to those.
Yeah, we'll get to those.
The flight scene, is what I call it, is where when they're, like, on nowhere... where they're mm-hmm. like trying to escape all the people that are chasing them.
Yeah.
I think that sequence is amazing. I love that.
Yeah. There's a lot of really good random just alien ship designs yeah. as well.
He's in a spaceship and then he gets inside another spaceship that has guns and then is shooting people.
I was like, this is a lot.
No, it's so sick.
it's really funny, but I'm like, wow, there's a lot going on. Yeah. The good random alien designs, that score with like that first group shot is like really good as well. Like when they first get, it's like in the prison break scene, but like when they first all together and like the score.
So sick.
Yeah. Very, very good scene. Collector is a really compelling character, I think.
Yeah.
He's just like, he's clearly just like a rich guy with like a crazy hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, was it Benicio del Toro?
Correct.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he plays that character with like his own personality, which is really fun.
Yeah.
And just seeing what he's got going on. It's a character that makes sense. And it's like a fun space thing.
I am pro, like, OG Groot,
personally. 100%. Yeah, me too.
So, in my mind, there's, like, a stronger Groot in this one.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like he's the most...
He's most
capable, yeah. And so,
besides the third one, I think he's more capable than the third one.
Okay. Or as capable.
Sure. You
know? But it's just my favorite design, and I think he's the best used in that one.
Definitely the best design. I'm such a sucker for Gentle Giants, I think.
Right.
And he's definitely that. And then the second one, he's Baby Groot. And there's some good moments there, I think.
Yeah.
And it makes sense what's going on with the character. But yeah, this Groot, I think, is better.
And then, like, the last pro that I have is the Groot, like, firefight.
Oh, yeah.
Fireflies scene.
Groot Fireflies.
Where he's, like, good. Protecting them. He's saying, "We are Groot." And even though he knows he's has to, like, sacrifice himself in order to save his friends, mm-hmm. his family. And so that's just a very touching scene that gets me every time.
But yeah, very super good scene. It's a good build up to it. Yeah, really good. I like that there's Nova Corps, but a con is that there's no Nova.
Right, yeah.
So, shit movie. I like the switcheroo that he does at the end with like the Infinity Stone.
Oh, and the troll doll?
Yeah, with the troll doll. I was like, that's really good.
How's it going?
The Ronin ship. What the fuck's going on there?
A dumb ship.
It's not a con. I just like...
It's cool. It's
I like how weird it is. So that's pretty
another
cool.
Pro. Thanos is in this one. And he's
con,
just kind of cool.
Thanos is kind of mid in this.
True. Pro, I think this is the best design for Thanos. They change it for like Infinity War and stuff to make him just look more like Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of odd to me. But
I think the face is better in this, but I can see why they wouldn't keep him in a gold armor the whole time, you know?
It's not just the gold armor, just like the way his face looks.
I think his face is better.
In Infinity War, he's like handsome Thanos, you know what I mean?
He's just like in like a wife beater or whatever. Like, what does he even wear? I can't even remember.
He's got just like a tank top thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think just like the subtle comedy is a little bit better in here. Like when they're in the prison, there's like a, they're all sleeping in like one room and there's a fat dude's arm over Star-Lord.
Like cuddling with him.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought that was pretty good. Oh, that scene where they're in the bar and Rocket's like airing out his like his dirty laundry. And he's like, you know, very pissed over the idea that they're calling him like rodent and stuff. Very strong scene. One of the heavy hitting lines in there as well.
Even hits even harder after the third one.
It does, 100%. Yeah. If I were to rewatch the first one, I'd be crying more. Because you know? He's like, I didn't ask to get made over and over again or whatever. And I'm like, this is cool. And I like that all parties in the third act have something to do in this one. Because like there's the Nova Corps, you know, kind of doing something.
Trying to stop the ship.
The Ravagers are kind of helping out with like the, you know, the other wave of just like random beings. The dive bombing is kind of unhinged. I like that was like a thing that they were doing. And then everybody else was just like shooting to get inside. It was like a big kind of heist almost.
Yeah.
And I thought that was cool. Cons, Daniel. Thanos is just on a big rock. What is that about?
That's where he chills.
His servant's really annoying.
Yeah, but then he's killed like immediately.
Which is nice, but he's very annoying.
Another pro.
Space is a little dark in this movie. Which I know sounds dumb to say out loud.
There's an absence of light in space. What do you mean?
I understand that. But I like it when cosmic stuff is bright and fun and cool and interesting.
Okay.
It's a little dark here in this movie.
Sure.
And I feel like he is aware of that in the second one and he improves on that.
Okay.
The Yondu fin sucks.
In the first one?
Yeah.
You like long Yondu fin? I like
big fin. All right, cannot argue with me on that.
Second one, you know, superior fin. We get it.
Okay, good.
So something I wrote down as a con actually happens in like the second one too. Did you notice that goes from like widescreen to full screen? Like a lot.
I was really thrown off by that.
I don't know
does
why.
Does that happen in theaters too?
I don't know.
100% it doesn't, right?
I have no clue.
Because it would have thrown me off at the time, I think.
Because I don't know why I like never noticed it, but I noticed it this time and I'm like, wow, I can't stop looking for it.
Because sometimes it would happen and I'd be like, did the aspect ratio just change? And then I'd be just like looking at the like the bevel.
Is that what it's called?
Like they're like margins.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like the bevel of like the screen, I'd be like
the forehead and chin.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And yeah, it threw me off too. I noticed that.
Okay. Con. How like Drax just like sabotages everything in this first one.
He's drunk.
He calls Ronan.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'll take him down. Mm-hmm. That's such a dumb plot point in my head.
Yeah. That is a, yeah.
And I'm like, I get he's not a perfect character, but that, he has to, I don't know. I just didn't like that. And I'm like,
surely there was a better way to do that without making him seem like a big dumbass, you know?
Yeah.
He is a big dumbass, and I think that's the point of his character.
I'd rather it be like some spy sees them and then calls Ronan or something, you know?
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't like just like the whole concept of like the blockade that they make.
I kind of like
it. Of all the ships just like, just being there trying to stop the ship.
I think it's just cool, like, but I
get what the purpose is, but it just
when
didn't
is that
like,
ever a practical thing for them
at
any other time.
And it just didn't like add anything to the movie for me.
Yeah.
And so that was just something and then it obviously just goes super poorly.
Yeah. Those mining ships in nowhere, they can't go into space. Sure. That's fine. I'll suspend my disbelief. Mm. When Gamora gets shot and it explodes and she's floating out in space, Star-Lord flies out. But before he does that, he calls Yondu and he's like, here's where I am. Come get me. And then there's like a minute and then like all of Yondu's Ravagers are there. They get there so fast.
Well, they were on nowhere.
The Ravagers?
Yeah, because when as soon as Ronan's dudes show up, they're like, oh, you called Ronan? And then right behind him, Yondu's like, Quill! And so then they all just have to decide to like run and get in the ships and fly away. So
the Ravagers are there on nowhere?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I missed that. Even still.
It's very fast. So yeah, they just had. And so they must have known that they were in the ships or whatever. And so they were probably in the ships already. So once he got the coordinates, they were right there, you know?
Still very fast.
It was pretty fast. Last con. There's not. It's like with any movie, I guess. But like not all the jokes land. I think the jokes are they work more in the first one. But just like when they fly onto Ronan's ship and they like slide and they just keep shooting like all the guys and whatnot. And then like Gamora's like, we're just like Kevin Bacon. And I'm just like, not really. What do you mean?
Yeah, you're not dancing. Like
I like was listening to that.
What was established of Kevin Bacon before does not apply in this situation.
Right. Yeah. And so that one just didn't land for me, but.
Yeah.
But other than that, great movie.
Yeah. I mean, really good movie.
Other things you didn't like about the first one?
It kind of sucks that like they fulfilled their plan to its fullest potential and just didn't do anything.
Woo.
When they're in the third act and they're like, here's our plan to get in Ronan's ship and we're going to shoot him with the big gun that they made or whatever.
Yeah.
It like doesn't even faze him that much.
They didn't know that. That was the best idea they had.
But like, it would have been cool if it like kind of worked, but he's like still work. He's like still out there and he's, you know, still going to get the gem or whatever, or the stone.
Okay. I didn't think about it that much.
He gets shot straight in the chest. He's knocked out for like a second. The whole ship crashes and he's just like walking around like nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that scene where he's like doing a dance off to distract him.
Yeah.
And that's fun. But I don't know. It's just like a little thing, obviously, but
I think what I think about, like when I think about these two movies, is that like the kind of like the overall plot of the first one is like, it's like getting the team together, which mm-hmm. I just kind of, I'm a sucker for.
It is. Yeah.
I love just how they come together and there's obviously conflicting personalities and things like that. And yeah. Everything is like against them, like coming together, but that they eventually do put differences aside and work together.
Mm-hmm.
And that shit, I just kind of like love. And then just seeing teams I know of like get together and just kind of seeing them all together.
Yeah.
I love.
Yeah. Still really strong, really good. Yeah. Overall, really good movie. Not a whole lot of cons in either of them, in my opinion. So let's go on to volume two.
All right.
We'll start with pros.
The de-aging is very good.
Unbelievable.
It's like perfect.
If you don't know who Kurt Russell is, you'd be like, this is what Kurt Russell looks like.
Yeah.
So it's very cool.
How'd they get this footage?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like not off-putting either. Like normally when you see it and you like know what an actor looks like, you're like, this is weird.
Yeah.
Because they do it with Sam Jackson and it's like, that's like, that one's not even that like disturbing or whatever or off-putting. But yeah. You're still like, he doesn't look like this, you know?
Right.
But this one I was like, yeah, this is like Kurt Russell back then.
Uh-huh.
Really fun monster design in that first action sequence.
Yeah. Scarier space monster.
Scarier, bigger space monster, you know, bigger swing. Of just like weirdness going on. Cause like, what is that thing? It's like a big octopus with big mouth and it shoots rainbows out of its mouth. It's like, it's a really fun design. I would agree that like the opening scene for the first one is probably like more fun. Cause it's like Star-Lord dancing, whatever. And it's like really comedic and good. But I like how impressive the single like sweeping long shot is of that mm-hmm. whole sequence. Obviously it's like all CGI. In the
background, like unfocused.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like the focus is Groot just like having a good time, but you can still see what's going on in the background. And mm-hmm. I think that's pretty fun.
Next pro I wrote down was when they're trying to escape the Sovereign, like spaceships,
mm-hmm.
and Drax just like attaches himself to the ship.
Yeah.
And jumps out the back.
I like that he has
a big gun and is just shooting them.
He's just having the best time in this movie, which I think is really funny.
And you can definitely see like how invulnerable this dude is, or like to an extent.
Yeah.
And so, which is insane because he hits like everything on the way down.
Yeah. And he's so, like hitting all the trees. It's just like, and then Gamora's like trying to save him. She's not happy about it, you know, but yeah. She has to like save him.
The ambush scene that you told about when they're in the forest and the Ravagers are trying to attack Rocket.
Yeah.
Like all this shit that he throws at them is a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. He's clearly very smart and he like caught them. You know, he was very conscious of the fact that someone was going to like come after him. And so it was fun seeing how he like sets up and does all that. I think there are some good Drax moments and some bad Drax moments, but the ones that I like are the ones that are more tame Drax moments. Yeah. And so
where he's trying to eat snacks silently and to be invisible.
That's Infinity War, but.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Yeah, that's not in this movie, but like in this one where it's clear that Gamora and Peter have like a thing. And then Drax is like, let me put my two cents in here.
Yeah.
And he's like, you just need to find someone that's pathetic like you.
Yeah.
And like those, or like. There are those that dance and those that do not. And he tells about like his wife, like not dancing at all.
Yeah. I knew really she was one for me.
Yeah. Like those are pretty fun.
I think Mantis is like a pro in this. She's a fun character.
Yeah. At first I didn't like her. I'm like, she didn't really do anything. But then like, you know, rewatching it, I think she has way more benefit to it because she adds a lot more depth to certain scenes, just knowing what she can do.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, I said that this movie has like a them in pairs a lot. And you don't really, we don't really know a lot about Drax. We just know that like his family died and he just wants to kill Ronan and Thanos.
Yeah.
But in this, there's, you know, scenes where they're together and they're like kind of friends, but they're like, there's like this, like Drax just sucks at like having friends pretty much.
Yeah.
But there's a scene where like she touches him on the shoulder, and because she's like an empath, she like feels his emotions, and it's very, she feels like a breath of emotion that's kind of hidden under his like tough exterior, because he feels like a lot of sadness. You can tell because when Mantis like touches him, and I thought that was a really strong scene.
Okay. Yeah.
And just interesting part. It makes sense why she's there for like Ego's, you know, sense, so she can like help him go to sleep and stuff.
Mm.
I think it's pretty funny that Ego flies around in an egg-shaped ship when his whole purpose is that he's just spreading his seed across the galaxy.
Yeah.
I think that's really funny.
Got him.
The space stuff is pretty fun. There's like a quantum asteroid field, which is makes no sense, but it's really fun.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
That was pretty fun. The arcade ships, you know, those are pretty fun that the Sovereign uses.
They're all drones or whatever. The first time I watched this, I thought it was very touching when Ego and Peter are like talking, and then they like start playing catch with like this energy ball thing.
Yeah, especially when there's, it's kind of like a callback to when Peter was like, you know, all my friends, or you know, all these people get to play catch with their dad, and like that's just what I want, you know.
Yeah.
I assume that like Ego and his whole celestial being like hears it even at some point in my head canon. But yeah, it's really funny when they're just like, you know, father son playing catch.
Yeah.
And that's a good scene. The Ravagers, you know, you expand on the Ravagers a little bit more, and so it's just interesting to see how that whole organization works. And you'd think the Ravagers are just like a one-off group of just like pirates, and then you find out there's a whole bigger organization, and they were exiled for some reason, you know. And just Stallone is really funny in this role, I feel like.
I think
there's
the Finn scene where Groot has to go get his like Yondu's Finn.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole process is just a fun like scene.
It's like, and they keep elevating like how wrong he gets too, which I think is funny. He gets like a whole desk at some point, which is really loud. And like he should have woken like some people up, and then like at some point he gets like really close and he just grabs the wrong thing or whatever. Yeah, really fun. He gets a severed toe, and it's like where did he get that?
Yeah,
I thought that was fun. I think there's better foreshadowing in this.
Absolutely not, dude. My first con is like, or one of my cons is like, it just like is blatantly obvious.
Like what?
The foreshadowing or whatever.
Like what?
Like Mantis freaking out. Like she's like, I have to tell you something or whatever.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
That's
more a plot point, I would say, than foreshadowing.
And also there's like no real like villain established to where it like distracts by a potential twist. You know what I mean? And so when it's just so blatantly obvious, you're just kind of waiting for that to happen. You know, so it just unravels like very obviously.
Yeah, there's no villain up until halfway, I would say. And I think I think it's very clear that there's something off about Ego, but it's only made clear about halfway in.
Yeah, I mean, at first, like, you know, Peter doesn't buy it, you know, because and therefore there's immediately potential for a threat.
Yeah, and I think like he's sketchy about him at first, and so that's what we're interested in learning like more about, as far as like, is he the villain? And then when he's cool with it, Gamora is not cool with it. She's sketched out, and so like,
just like
it's not like as malicious immediately.
Yeah, but the fact Ronan, that no one believes it, that is foreshadowing in itself. But like, when there's never really a part of the story where everyone's like on board, that just means like, oh, there's obviously something wrong here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
So that was kind of a main criticism that I heard, and that made just like a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. I think there's a better Chris Pratt performance in this movie, just because there's more range for him to play with.
Okay.
Because in the first one, like I said, like I think a lot of them,
just kind of a goof.
They're all like kind of one dimensional.
Sure.
Because they're supposed to be like they're supposed to be like all these conflicting sort of personalities that create like a camaraderie. And in this one, I think there's more depth. There's more room for depth with everybody. So I think the Chris Pratt performance is a lot better. I like the Ravager breakout scene as well, where they get Yondu's new fin, which is better. We've established. But like Rocket and Yondu are breaking out, and I think that's a really fun scene. Just seeing like him kill all the Ravagers, and they're all like,
there's a lot of Ravagers in that.
There's a lot. Like, he kills like all of his friends pretty much, except for Sean Gunn.
Like hundreds. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but like, there's, I think there's a better, there's more interesting shots in this than there are in the first one.
Okay.
Like, there's that scene where they're on Ego's ship, and you know, there's points where they like slow it down and they just have like really interesting like character shots. Like, there's one where Star-Lord's just listening to music and he's kind of like off center of the frame, and you see like kind of the brightness of like the ship and stuff. Or in that Ravagers scene where they're breaking out of like the jail, there's like everybody falling down and they're just like walking across. I think that's a really interesting shot.
I think they kind of,
there's a better sense of,
overdid that one. Like, it's a cool scene and all, but it's like, this arrow is fucking like unstoppable, and it is going insanely fast and just fucking everywhere. You know, so I'm like, we get it. You know what I mean? If he only killed like 50 people, I think it had like the same effect, you know, but
sure. Yeah. I think it goes a bit long, but I think the point of that arrow is supposed to be that it's super strong. 'Cause he does the same thing in the first movie where he kills like all of those Kree people in like a second, pretty much. Like, no one even has time to react.
Yeah. And like, that seemed like a like leveled use of that. The jumping scene when they're in the ship, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, super fun.
they do like 70 jumps or whatever,
and it's like, you know, they're doing like 700 jumps or whatever.
Yeah,
and like all their faces are getting morphed, and then Groot throws up at the end. Really fun.
Probably my favorite part of this one is when Nebula is going to Ego or whatever, that planet, and she's driving like a spaceship and starts shooting at Gamora.
Yeah.
And then she crashes down, and then Gamora just rips a gun off of the ship, puts it on her shoulder,
and starts shooting it,
and just like fucking hotwires it to start shooting.
Yeah.
That's so fucking cool.
Amazing.
Like, because then you just see, you don't understand how strong Gamora is, and that is just like, just big gun. So sick.
Big gun on shoulder. I love that. Normally that's like Rocket's thing, but I like it when they scaled it up like that. I think the whole Gamora Nebula relationship is really good, because they're still like bickering and they're still like fighting, but they're fighting for seemingly like different reasons emotionally. Like, they are just brutal in fighting each other. Nebula's trying to prove something, and Gamora just thinks that she's like an asshole, kind of. But really, you know, Nebula's just very like emotionally vulnerable, and they haven't really talked about this necessarily. And so I think I like that they have that space to talk about it, but they're still like fighting, which is very on character for them. The Quill and Gamora parts, like, I really enjoy some of the quiet moments that they have. So there's like a dancing scene where they like dance for a little bit on the balcony. And there's when they start fighting, and she's like, I don't know what Cheers is, you know, all that stuff. And and Star-Lord's like, you know, you were the one that wanted to like push me here to like find my family, and I finally found my family. You want to leave? And she was like, I thought you already had found your family.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a really, you know, that's a good line.
We already kind of said that this one definitely has a more interesting villain.
Yeah.
You know,
there's more, it makes sense. Like, you're a celestial. You just think bigger than everything.
Kind of a similar,
like, I don't think
motive as like the high evolutionary, you know,
kind of way,
making his own universe and wants it all to be him kind of thing, you know? Yeah.
But the high evolutionary seems like he doesn't want to do that for like the whole universe. He just kind of like, wants his own like little thing. He's just being
He wasn't so like abusive about it, he probably could have just had his own planet.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. But yeah, it makes sense that as a celestial, you just want to grow yourself more to be bigger than whatever. So
yeah,
it also is cool that it explains like the parts of like the first movie where like he's out in space and he doesn't immediately like blow up because he's just human, you know,
and
he's
like,
part celestial.
He can hang on to the Infinity Stone.
Yeah. And it's cool when he's, you know, able to use some of his powers.
Yeah. Like Super Quill when he's like fighting him in like the core.
Yeah.
Cool scene.
Yeah. Very cool scene. And that needle drop moment where they have like the dolly zoom. You know what that is?
No.
It's like when you're zooming in on the face, but the background in the is being zoomed out.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, you know, pretty typical like movie shot thing that's used in a couple different places.
Okay.
But like, that's a really cool moment where he's like, man, it sucked when I had to put a tumor in her head or whatever. And then his immediate reaction is just shoot the fuck out of Ego.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, good stuff.
That whole like, the whole like third act, I thought was fun. You know, just the whole core scene when they're like fighting everyone that's in there, and like the shit with the bomb and whatnot. That's it's like just a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think the third act of the first movie is like a little bit better as far as coordinating what everybody's doing.
Sure.
Because in here it feels like, you know, Quill's doing the main thing, Rocket and Groot are trying to like build the bomb or whatever, and everybody else is just kind of like trying to survive. And then the only other thing I don't like about it too much is...
We're not on cons yet.
Okay, sure.
But go ahead.
Okay, another pro. I really love that Ravager ship with like little balls that roll around and it shoots lasers.
I thought that was something that it's Rocket like a, built.
It was like a mining Ravager thing, I guess. It's like its purpose is for mining.
Okay.
That's what they said. It was like a throwaway line kind of, but I like the design of that ship and how it works.
Huh, okay. And then like last pro that I have is the Yondu sacrifice. Like you said, dude. Just very, very touching. And I was trying to think of like if it could have been avoided, but they only had like so many spacesuits, and then Quill gave his to Drax.
Mm-hmm. And same Gamora.
Yeah. And even though I hurt his nipples or whatever.
Yeah.
Ah, my nipples.
Yeah. That was a good callback.
And then the Rocket's like, I have one spacesuit, one jetpack or whatever. And so I forgot like where that led to. And then when it happened, I was like, oh, because they don't have like so much. And so.
Yeah. And the fact that he doesn't give Quill like a choice at all. And he's like, let me just do this one thing right, because I've done wrong by you, like, you know, your whole life.
Yeah.
I think it's just really strong. And then he's got that line, which is so Yondu, but it still kind of hits hard. He's like, he may be your father, but he ain't your daddy.
Yeah.
Which is very like Southern, like Yondu thing to say. Yeah. But I think the emotional weight of it is very strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have such a complicated relationship, because the whole. Up until this point, he was pretty convinced that Yondu just wanted him to get into small spaces as like a child. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, keeps throwing shit at his face that like, you know, everybody else wanted to eat him or whatever. And then he just realized that he's had a dad this whole time that was pretty, pretty good to him, all things considered.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have the time to like process that because Yondu dies. And I think it's really tragic.
Yeah.
So it's one of the like, definitely made me cry in the theater, because the score on point. Chris Pratt's performance, you could see like how hopeless he feels, really strong.
Yeah.
And I like it. And I like that there's a Ravager funeral at the end. That's one of the foreshadowing moments, because when they're on that ice planet with like the space strippers, also a pro. Like, what the hell is that planet?
The robot space hookers. Vegas,
yeah. But like, he has a confrontation with Sylvester Stallone. He's like, you'll never have a Ravager funeral or whatever. And then like he ends up having it. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like get like what was happening there. But I wasn't like, oh, good stuff or whatever. I guess it's kind of cool that he was like redeemed after death or whatever. But
last, just quick lightning thing of my con or pros. I like that scene where all the Ravagers are being shot in the space.
Really? I thought that was kind of brutal.
I like it was brutal, but it was cool. Like, I think it's a pro.
I feel like execution... Or exile didn't make that much sense, just because you kind of disagreed in leadership, you know?
Well,
and like just lock him up.
Taserface is taking over and he needs to get rid of the people that don't follow him or aren't loyal to him. So he just kills him. It sends a really big message to the rest of the people. I just thought that scene was done well. The Yondu confrontation between him and Rocket, that's one of the pairings that seemed like kind of unlikely, but they're like so similar.
Yeah.
Like it works really well. They're deeply caring individuals that are like, have like this bitter exterior, really good at killing. So they have that in common. And then I like how they kind of open up to each other when Yondu calls out his bullshit. It's very good.
Yeah.
So one of the cool pairs, but that's everything I have for the pros.
All right. Cons.
Cons.
Inferior soundtrack. We established. Yeah,
we established that.
Inferior abs.
Yeah. Not as good abs, yeah. But that's fine.
Yeah, but I'm sure he worked very hard for both, but it just has to be said.
Jokes are different. I think he tries a little hard with some of them.
Yeah.
There's a joke where Mantis is like, you're feeling love for her. And then Drax is like really obnoxious about it. But I think it goes like 5 seconds too long, like that whole scene.
Yeah. Just like the fake laughing in general just is always kind of cringe for me.
Yeah, it was like, clear that like Mantis is kind of like fake laughing too,
her, and then when she like touches him because he's laughing, just that whole thing is just like, okay, we get it.
Yeah, the ripe joke, not my favorite at all. So I think there's some jokes that are more subtle that I get a good laugh out of me, but overall I think the jokes in the first one are probably better.
Yeah. Something that I thought was odd was they reveal like Ego, like in his whole like thing, super soon. It felt like they, I just felt like it'd feel like a little bit better if they just kind of revealed like who he is and him coming into the movie like a little bit later. You know, it's like,
you mean his like actual motives?
No, just like him in general. Like they could have kind of done more Guardian things for a little bit longer before just him showing up. You know, he could have been like a more second act kind of thing.
He was the second act kind of thing, I feel.
Yeah, he's in the first 10 minutes,
I guess.
You know,
I guess it would just be kind of weird to be like, okay, they're working on this thing, and then, oh, here's Peter's dad, and here's everything that he does, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they could have put something in there to kind of delay to that point and almost like be connecting to that plot, but okay. Like as if they see the man, him on his ship, and he's like on it, and maybe they're like just looking for him or something.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think it's fine.
Yeah, it is fine, and this is like how it is, but it always feels like kind of unnatural, I guess.
Yeah, I think the lack of impending doom, kind of like there was in the first one with like Ronan, he's like, oh man, he's gonna kill some shit with that stone. It makes it so the second act is a little bit slow, and I do feel that, but you know, opens up for room to get some actual like character moments again, like I said.
Sure.
I think Peter learning his celestial powers so quick is a bit lazy, because it's like, oh man, I have celestial powers, and he makes like a ball.
Well, like,
wow, that was really quick, you know?
Yeah.
And then by the end, he's like, oh, I can make myself Pac-Man, you know, and doing all those things.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which is like cool scene, but it's like, what got him to that point?
I guess if, as long as he's like connected to the core or whatever, and Ego explains like how to do it well enough, then he could probably just catch on pretty quickly.
Yeah,
it's not like he was like making it his own Earth or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was a little bit too much like explaining,
like what,
like Ego just kind of explain like his whole like plan, like his,
that's
everything
the thing you should be explaining. Let's be clear,
it could have been like a montage, you know, with like narration over it, you know, rather than him just walking around with his like space slideshow.
I feel like that's a montage for the characters in that scene, because like if we just see a montage, Ego's just explaining all that stuff to them.
Yeah, to and them, so but we don't see that, like, and them just listening.
Yeah, I know. Maybe like visually it would work better for us, but I like that, like, they try to do something
Kurt
different.
Kurt Russell
with
make
that
out with different alien species.
You do. He just looks very porcelain while he's doing it.
Don't like it.
Yeah. I thought it was really funny that his representation of him making out with other species, he's still a human. I assume he would have made like an avatar of himself that's like a weird
squid thing. Yeah, like a Kree
thing.
Person or whatever. Yeah. And so there's the explanation of what he wants them to know. And then later there's the explanation of like what's actually happening. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like a lot of explaining, a lot of talking. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think they move fairly quick on it for the most part.
Yeah, it's fine, but that's just something I think.
Mm-hmm.
All the Taserface stuff, like the jokes about Taserface, I forced. Oh, yeah, I didn't like
it. Yeah, that's one of the jokes I think were forced. Yeah,
could have been something else.
Made that point. One of the cons, I think, of the third act, to me, it feels like it would make sense, because there's a point where he's trying to stop the bomb from going off, and Peter Quill is stopping his like avatar from like going to stop that bomb.
Yeah.
You'd think that he could just like reanimate himself somewhere else, and he could just like pick up the bomb and press
the
button,
or
turn
just
it off.
Make like some arm like in the core come and grab it or something.
Yeah, one of the little tendrils come out and grab it. Yeah, just I was like,
because he was clearly like OP compared to them.
Yeah,
and but they like it, but because of the bomb, they were able to like kind of get away or whatever.
Yeah, and I think it was part of it, just like Peter beating some energy out of him or whatever. It just seemed weird that he was like stopping him there. Oh, one of the pros actually. In that like final scene, he's like, if this bomb goes off, you're going to be just like them. And then he's like, what's so wrong with that? And yeah. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I think that's one of the cons. Is like, you'd think he'd be able to find a way to just like grab that bomb. Maybe he can't just reach into his own brain as much as he thought, but
maybe. Another con. The Ravagers are a kicking group.
Yeah, that is a con.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good. They spend a lot of time on it too. They're like pouring shit on him.
Yeah.
I'm like, we get it. You know, a pro is that he's too cute to kill, but they are clearly fine with like stepping on him and fucking yelling at him and shit.
Yeah,
that's a con.
Last con. I don't think they needed to like blow up the Milano.
When did that? Oh, it's like still just a wreck on that ship, right? Or on that planet. where they left it or initially. Where's the Milano?
Because
they crash landed in that forest planet and they just left it there pretty much, right? Because they got captured.
Right. And so it was just, yeah, but it like blew up for some reason.
Milano is the best ship design. Even the third one, I'm like, I'm not crazy about this.
It's a cool ship, but not better than Milano.
Seems impractical.
Yeah. That's like one of the three like Lego sets that are on like my wish list right now.
The Milano?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah.
So dope.
Yeah, I wish they kept the Milano, but
you know, I guess they just gotta move forward or whatever.
It's like con.
Any more cons from you?
I think that was everything. Like again, I like both movies a lot. And I think what sets this movie over in the second one, just character moments is really what I think drives me. I think the story of trying to stay a family and really determining like who's your real family, you know, is a big theme in this. And I think that that's more interesting. And we get to focus on some of those characters that I loved from the first one brought into here.
But that's almost like a responsibility of like a sequel.
Yeah. And I think that the fact that it wasn't like very clear, like the first one just better, at least to me, shows that it's a good sequel. They're expanding on what's there, adding more to each of the different characters. They still have like, you know, more there than what you knew in the first one.
I guess like the struggle to keep the family together is kind of similar to just getting the family together like in the first one. And so that I feel like that has like the carries the same weight.
They all have the same goal though, of trying to take down Ronan. I mean, there is a point where Rocket and Groot try and leave to just be like, let's just live out the rest of our lives until Ronan blows it all up or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense why they come together as a family. And it's like in the second one, they don't really need to stay together. And so just keeping them all there is tough and it's hard. And I like that Peter finds family and it's like, well, I had a family here this whole time. I don't know what I was missing, you know? So
yeah,
it was cool. So, and then, you know, some of the space stuff, I think better villain kind of overall. Yeah. There's pros and cons of each one, but I think overall when I weight them, two's better, but overall, I think three's the best. How do you rate these? Is it 1, 3, 2 for you?
1, 3 Christmas special, 2.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Christmas special is really good.
So 3, I have the first full half. I was like, this is weird. And, you know, and I was just like trying to think about how I was just all I kept thinking was like, this is weird. And then like it got better in like second act and third act. And then just kind of, and then it ended. And so I've been thinking about it a lot. And I think the energy is kind of what I look for. Like, what kind of energy did this bring? And I'm glad that it was like longer because you can just add more stuff to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just kind of puts it above 2 for me. So yeah, that's like my ranking. And that's kind of why I put like 1 at 1 because it's just like the energy of it is just like a lot of fun and the scenes are funny, like the funnier one, it better soundtrack and then better fight scenes in my opinion. It's not a perfect movie, but I just, because of those things just being better than the second one in my opinion, that's just why I put it up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't even know if there's much that we can really argue about because I don't think either of us like really neither of us dislike the other movie. We just happen to put it higher.
Yeah, I think there's not much we really disagree on. Like, yeah, I think the first one has a better soundtrack. I think the first one's a bit funnier. That's not what like makes a movie for me. It's just stuff that I enjoy, you know, about those particular movies. But I still think like the second volume 2 soundtrack, still pretty good.
Still pretty good.
Really good.
Looks great compared to 3 now.
Yeah. 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 No kidding. We didn't realize what we had.
Yeah.
There's still jokes in there that I laugh at a volume 2. There's more that I cringe at for sure. But, you know, anyway, that's what I think. Is that it? Is that what we did?
Yeah, probably.
All right. Thanks for listening. This is longer than I thought. I thought we were going to do this for like 20 minutes.
No, well, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed this bonus episode.
Which one do you like better? Let us know.
Oh, you're asking people.
TradeRaiderspod@gmail.com.
You tell us what you like better.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I'll put a Twitter poll up. Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah. And then tell us what other bonus episodes we should do.
Yeah. What other debates?
Yeah.
If you want that. All right.
Yeah. Links in the bio. Go follow the stuff. Yep. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.
Bye.